Take your Bibles, you're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. And it's been a long week, and we're going to go old school. If you complain, you've been around electronics too much. But I couldn't get the slides in early enough, so it wasn't anybody's fault or anything. So you just have to really listen. And yes, your points are going to spell out the word shut, like shut your mouth, because there's no slides. Yeah. Come on now, wake up. I'm tired of getting that joke. S-H-U-T, have to be careful to enunciate that really quick. Those are your points for today. They spell out the word shut. And the question I have for you today, and kids, I want you to draw a picture of Daniel in the lion's den and put that on my desk, and you'll get some of that 10-year-old gum in my office or whatever. But I hope you have a good dentist. But anyway, I have a question. Do you have a mouth shutting faith? One that quiets your fears and quiets the things that are going on in your life because you're trusting God, but also your enemies. And mainly, we know our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the world, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness. Is your faith, as we've been talking about the way of faith, is your faith in what God can do enough to shut the mouths of the enemy? And as we continue in this, we struggle sometimes. A verse that has guided Heather and I for years is Exodus 14:14. You have only to be silent, and the Lord will fight for you. That verse comes from when the Israelites were between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And God told them to go there because he wants them to trust him. And Exodus 14:14, you have only to be silent, and the Lord will fight for you. That verse in our lives has proven itself over and over again. And that's the kind of, not that my faith is any more than yours, it's the fact, are we going to trust God enough that he can shut the mouths of our enemies and let our mouths be shut to trust him and not to try to fix it ourselves. We can choose to shut down our faith in God or to shut down false faith. And so your action step today is have a mouth-shutting faith. If you think you need to shut your mouth, that's between you and God. But have a mouth-shutting faith. And we're going to land in Daniel chapter 6. There's some other verses I'm going to bring up. And you either get your Bible electronically or physically or whatever you need to do. But we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be there next week too. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32, which we've looked at every week, says, and what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And then we're going to go on into verse 33 here in a minute, and it talks about, it doesn't give Daniel by name, but that's the only person I know that was thrown in a lion's den and God showed up. Okay, so at least that we know him in the Bible. So we talked about all these, and they all lived in a society that was spiritually dark. They all were pushed into humility. They weren't on the top. And they all had a great task or service to do. Last week we talked about Samuel, that he wasn't a physical warrior. He was a spiritual warrior. And those were the same. And then this week, if you went, and again, Hebrews 11:33 goes on to say, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, and shut the mouths of lions. Talking about Daniel. Why Daniel? Let's think about him. I want us to understand something. I love America. I love that I can stand here and speak freely and all these kind of things. But when you go to the Bible, there's not much democracy in the Bible. And there's not much what we are blessed with in America. And I'm not downing any of it. But I want you to understand, most of the world, Christianity is growing more around the world than the United States. The United States is the fifth largest lost nation in the world. That's nothing to be proud of. But most Christians around the rest of the world where Christianity is growing are not under free governments. I am for free government, and it's not political. If you don't vote, don't complain. Because we're in a country where we can speak up and we can vote. Didn't say what side. I don't want to hear any complaints, because I thank God for the men and women that has given that have given us that right. But when you look at the Bible, when you look at how God set up Israel, he set it up with a good government, him as leader, and then he turned them over, and how they take care of everything, God's kingdom. And we won't have anything perfect until God makes things right. But when you look at believers in the Bible, most of them were in countries and places where they didn't have any rights. So why don't we lay aside, be thankful for what we have, and use what we have. But we're citizens of the kingdom of God first. And I'm thankful that I'm a citizen of America and a free place. But let's look at Daniel's situation. He was taken off as a kid into captivity. And as a kid, if we all go back, I'm thankful that a lot of us didn't have Facebook back then, so all of our stupidity that we did is not tracked, okay, or whatever. I'm going through the process of going back and doing some more education and realizing that it's been so long, all of my teachers are dead, and then I thought, oh, okay, well, let's send transcripts off. Well, they can't do it electronically because I'm that old. They got to mail it, okay, or whatever, because it's not been on digital or whatever. I think it's before the Stone Age. But when you get to Daniel, if I go back to in our young age, those of us that are older, you know, some of the stupid things we did, I'm glad they can't be tracked on the internet. I thank you for God's grace. But Daniel's young. They're taken into captivity. And right off, he's forced in a situation. You do whatever you want. He's in a society. He's a stranger. He's an alien. He's blessed by God. And he, at a young age, and this is why faith at home and building in the kids is important. Mom and dad probably were not around. He, at a young age, could do whatever he wanted. And he chose to do what God wanted. He chose to have a faith. And what we see, I'm kind of giving you a background before we get to chapter 6. What we see with Daniel is they wanted him to go against his beliefs and his practices. And nobody was around. And as a young man, he said, hey, let me try what I believe and what I need to eat and what the Jewish people were called to eat. And God had a reason for that. Won't get into that. And for him to be in a captive in a foreign country and to say that, he could have been killed. He said, hey, look, let me follow what God's told me to do. And if it doesn't benefit me and if it hurts what you want me to do, then I'll do it your way. And obviously, we see at a young age, Daniel had shut the mouths of his captors because he was more healthy on the diet God had provided for him than on what this worldly kingdom wanted to do. That says a lot about Daniel at a young age. He's following his faith, taken from a youth. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to God's word. And then Daniel stood out. And I know us as Christians, and we're going to have to get over this, we are called to be salt and light, and it doesn't feel good that everybody thinks we hate everybody because we stand for what God's word is even in our practice, and we love people, but we've got to get over that, and we've got to look back to the fact that if we follow God, it shuts the mouths of a lot of things, our faith in God. So Daniel took that step at a young age. He stood out, and he was elevated in that kingdom. He was set apart, he was holy, and he was elevated. And your first villain, this is an S, because we're spelling out shut, okay? To have mouth-shutting faith, you have to live a holy life, you have to be set apart. That's what holiness means. Guys, for years, statistics have said that the lost cannot see the difference between a lost person and a Christian. And I'm just going to be honest, there's a lot of people that are lost that act better than Christians. And it's not about doing something different, but our lives should show, we're supposed to be salt and light, we're supposed to add flavor, we're supposed to shine light on what God wants. And I think what we're dealing with a lot of times is everybody wants to be an undercover Christian because, man, right now, it's like, we hate everybody. At least that's the way I feel. We're against everything. All this kind of stuff. But what's interesting, here I'm a pastor, and I've got more behind me than you do. I'm in front of more lost people than I have in my whole ministry, and they know who I am, and I'm still building relationships with them, and I'm not making an excuse for what God says. So, you just need to get out there. You need to be set apart. Then you get into, and again, I'm just kind of doing a summary here. You get into chapter 2, and so Daniel's now in the government. He's from his youth. He's been elevated. And then the king at that time has a dream, and all the wise men and stuff, they're wise enough to know I can't interpret that because they're not following God. And the king's like, I need somebody to interpret it. And what they're saying, well, that's difficult. Okay, well, it's difficult because they're not following God and they don't have the Holy Spirit, so they're just guessing, all the other wise men. And Daniel could have kept his mouth shut, and they were all threatening to be killed by the king. And you see in Daniel 2, this is all in Daniel verses 9 through 16. I'm just kind of summarizing for you. You know, Daniel stopped and he spoke up, and then he was able to interpret for the king what that was about. And then you see in Daniel 2, verses 46 and 47, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell face down, worshipped Daniel, and gave orders to present an offering and incense to him, which Daniel, again, being wise, he could have taken that. 47, the king said to Daniel, your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of kings, and revealer of mysteries, since you were able to reveal this mystery. See, guys, shut the mouth of those false prophets. It shut the mouth of the king that identified the real God. And notice a pattern. Daniel keeps stepping up in difficult times. Sound familiar? He interpreted, he was promoted, his friends were promoted, and most importantly, God was exalted. Here's your next fill-in. This is the H, because we're spelling shut, okay? To have a mouth-shutting faith, we have to step up. We have to step up. You know, Ephesians says this, Ephesians 6, when all you can do is stand, stand. And then you go to Matthew, and Jesus uses the parable of the foundation on sand and on a rock. If you're going to stand, you better be standing on Jesus Christ, and you better be standing on the Word. And for me, I know I'm going to answer for what I tell you here. And so I try to, may not mention all the verses, but not say anything that I can't back up standing on God's Word. Doesn't matter my opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter either. God's does. And so there's a point, though, if you're going to have mouth-shutting faith, it's great. The demons believe in Jesus, too, but it's not going to do them any good. A lot of people believe things. But and when we're going to shut the mouths of the enemy, and we have, there comes a point where our belief becomes action. And where we're going to have to speak up, and we're going to have to stand up. I've been talking about conversational evangelism, and this lifestyle evangelism is part of that. But a lot of churches and a lot of Christians say this, oh, well, they'll see my life and figure it out. I've heard testimony and testimony after people said, well, I figured they'd figure it out, and then somebody else comes along and asks that person, do you know Christ? Is that something you'd like in your life? This is what this is about. And again, you don't always start by that. You go to the Holy Spirit, but there is a point where you have to come out of the shadows, because he tells us to walk in the light, and a city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. For all the world to see, God never told us to hide. Our beliefs have to go to actions and also words, and we've got to step out. Nobody wants to have people think bad of them. But as long as you're good with God and you've done your best to love people, you are just going to have to let that lay, however it comes out. So you have to step up. You have to stand up. And it doesn't stop there. Then you got Daniel 5. Belshazzar, I'll say it that way, which is probably the wise man, but we won't get into that. But anyway, so in Daniel 5, so then there's another king, and he takes, and I'm just giving you a summary until we get to chapter 6 here.
So he takes the things from the temple and he decides to have a party. Well, those things from the temple, I'm talking about the Hebrew temple because they're in captivity and the Hebrews are in exile and there's just a remnant back in Jerusalem. And so he takes the things that from the temple and he decides to just throw a dinner party. And then suddenly they're having this dinner party and suddenly a hand is writing words on the wall at the dinner party. Well, there's something going on there. And so they call up Daniel, and the king says, I don't care what it says, you're going to get this. And Daniel didn't do it for stuff. I need to know what this says. And essentially, Daniel said that this night, your life will be taken from you because you disrespected God. And the king, he said, okay, you're going to get what I told you. And he died that night. So now it gets us to Daniel chapter 6. Young man, set apart, shut the mouths of those that were training him. He goes on and shuts the mouth of a king defining the dream. And he goes on and interprets something that was very controversial that ended the king's death. See a pattern here? Doesn't matter what the message is. It matters about who you have faith in. And you need to. That's why I've had to learn verses that I decided to concentrate only on Christ Jesus and his death on the cross, 1 Corinthians 2:2. And Isaiah 26:33, he will keep in perfect peace. All whose thoughts are fixed on him. I love everybody here, but if I focus on you and I don't focus on God, and it's not just the pastor, it's all of you. If we do not focus on God first, we will do what man wants and we'll all do bad stuff. We have to keep our motives focused on God. So now that brings us to Daniel chapter 6. Open up your Bibles electronically or physically, or there's probably one in the pew. Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to read some verses, I'm going to summarize. We're going to look start at verse 1 and through 28. And you see, Darius is now a king, there's a new structure. So this is the Babylonian Empire, okay? And what we see here is there's 120 governors, and Israel is part of that. And then, so their structure is you've got the king, you've got 120 governors. Well, it starts like 120 governors, then two presidents. We're doing good. Whoever's in, having one president. Can you imagine having two? Okay, wow. Okay, but you have 120 governors, then two presidents, and then the king. That's the structure of that empire. And Daniel became distinguished, and he was one of the two presidents, or was going to be promoted that. Daniel 6, verse 3 says this. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and the satrap because he had an extraordinary spirit. So God planned to set him over the whole realm. See their existing structure? 120 governors, two presidents, one king. What did that just say? Over the whole realm. Sounds like he's kind of by, and who's putting him there? God planned. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm, But we know that God was in this, and God can even use lost people. So, excellent spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 talks about those of us that are Christians have been filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we need to choose to live by the Holy Spirit. So what they were seeing in Daniel's life is he was following God by God's Spirit. And so he was. And you go to James, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And that's exactly what was happening there. So the king had planned to put Daniel over the whole government. Well, you know something, a lot of times when God exalts somebody, and it doesn't have to be just physically, guess what? Not everybody's going to like it, and especially the lost. In verse 4, and I won't read that part, he couldn't find, they're like, you got to find some dirt on Daniel. And a verse that has guided my life is John 3:21. Those that do what is right come gladly to the light so everyone can see what they're doing is what God is wanting them to do. You know what? I think I can say pretty clearly, whether I'm with you outside of church or with somebody else, I'm not perfect, but I don't do the fake. And it's just easier just to be who I am. And that means seeking forgiveness if I've wronged you and other things like that. But we just got to, they need to see, I think what the world, especially in America, has seen too long is people that believe something, there's some way on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, I mean, we've all dealt with it. We say we believe in God. We're trying to reach out to somebody. And it's like they've got some church member, some deacon, some whatever that's done them wrong. Guess what? Welcome to the club. And I'm not putting it down, but if that's an excuse to keep somebody out of church away from God, that's not going to cut it with God. Because here's the deal. You answer between you and Jesus one day. And you can use me as an excuse or somebody else as an excuse, but that's not going to cut it. And so, but we need to be living Christianity out in life as we go. And so they're trying to find dirt on Daniel. Anyway, they couldn't find anything. And so, imagine this. And the question I have for you, is there enough evidence in your life to convict you as a Christian? That you are a Christian? I don't mean being perfect, but is there enough evidence to convict that you are a Christian? And so I want you to understand this. See, we need to understand, I'm not saying America can't get better and we can't have revival. But I already told you most of the world where Christians are, they're in governments that are not for following Christ. And so you've got to realize, regardless of what government, you're going with Christ. And that you might get punished. And I'm thankful here in America, because in other countries, like even in Canada, what I'm saying here, I could get issues and in trouble. And you know what? I hope that I stand up and I feel that I would, but it's just like, I don't care. I've got to go with God. But you need to make that decision too. But what we see here, we can't find anything bad about Daniel. So the only way we can convict him is his faith. Think about that for a minute. Are you following God enough that you can be convicted for it? Guilty of following God. So verses 6 and 7, they go through and trick the king. They get him to make a decree. This is the rest of his people. They knew what they were doing. And so basically, for a period of 30 days, you couldn't worship anybody but the king. And in those societies, they believed kings were deity. And so what's interesting about this is Daniel was probably there in those meetings and didn't say anything. Now, guys, there's points we need to say things. We're in a country where we as Christians can speak up and say no. And in our country and in our state. And when we don't take advantage of that right, shame on us. But Daniel was in these meetings and he probably didn't say anything. And we'll get into why, probably here in a minute, or what happened. He was going to do the right thing regardless. See, God designed government, and government can be a good thing, and we see that in Romans. But anytime government goes against God, you need to go with God. But I want you to understand what that says about Daniel. Since his youth, he had decided to shut the mouth of that argument that when push comes to shove, I'm going with God. Now, we're all being tested. A lot of us are experiencing things and talking about issues we never thought we'd talk about. I mean, I live in Rogersville. It's not that big of a town. And I don't even go to the pizza place that much. And somebody was telling me, now there's a robot there serving you pizza. Well, Rosie from the Jetsons there? This is Rogersville, okay? And that's just the way our society is changing. But I'm talking ethically. And the fact of shaming within family and without, if you hold to God's word. You better make a decision now that you're going to love people and you're going with God. I'm not any better than anybody else, but maybe because I'm a pastor, I had to make that decision a long time ago. I remember I was a youth minister in Arkansas when I was doing my first full-time position. And I was challenged in something. I remember vividly saying, I've got to go with God on that. And boy, did I get the phone calls. It's not about me being right. But when you go with God, don't look back. But right now what's happening in America, and I know a lot of you, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I know a lot of you being pushed by family, by friends, and by society. You love them, but go with God. Go with God. Because how are they going to come to Christ, or how are they going to be on the right path if you're going down the hill of hell with them? I mean, come on. Daniel's doing it. I'm not mad at anybody here. I'm frustrated with our country that Christians are sitting in church. I love my family. I love my friends. And you know what? You can love lost people and speak the truth in love and let it lie. But when you're saying everything is okay, you are patting them on the back on their way to hell.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, go with God. Vaya con Dios. I think that's the right translation. Okay? But go with God. If you don't have set in your mind, regardless, I'm going with God, then when this stuff hits, it's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's worship for 30 days because long term, then what does that say to a society that is lost and going to hell? I'm convinced he didn't say anything because he made that decision as a kid. I love Jesus. I love people, but I'm going with God. Your next feeling, having a mouth-shutting faith means ultimately only pleasing God matters. Ultimately, only pleasing God matters. Oh, I know I'm a people pleaser. I really do. And I've had to fight that for years. And I love people. And when you're in church, it makes it even harder. Because you want everybody to like you. And then you get to the point if you naturally are a people pleaser, and then you want everybody to like you, I just had to get to the point, it's like, I love people. I don't want them to hate me or be mad at me. But God, you'll sort it out. And I've got to be good with you. That's not just your pastor. That has to be you. But ultimately, only pleasing God matters. That's why my life verse has been Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then Galatians, I think 1:10 talks about, Paul's talking about the fact, are you still going to try to please man or please God? And he talks about, I can't be a servant of God if I'm trying to please man. That's not just for your pastor. That's for all of us. Love people. But ultimately, why are we more worried about we're pleasing friends, family, or stranger than God? Then you get to verse 10 of Daniel 6. And it says this, when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went to his house. The windows in his upstairs room opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God. I love this last part. Just as he had done before. If everything changed in this government and we couldn't meet here, where would you be? This is why I like Voice of the Martyrs and been supporting, and I think in November we'll have a time of prayer for the persecuted church that's yearly. But I've been about VOM for 30 plus years because I remember when we went to youth camp, one of the things, in the middle of the night, all the youth in the camp went down to a field, and we worshiped. And you say, well, that's what youth do. No, they were trying to give us an example. That's what people in countries where it's illegal have to go in the middle of the night to worship in a field so that they can be protected and serve God. What would happen if these doors were locked? Well, we got a farm. We got places to hide. Come on over. Let's worship God. And that's not because I'm any better than you all, but do you see what I'm saying here? Daniel, I love that. He wasn't thumbing his nose. It's like, you just got to make the decision, I'm going with God. That's it. I think most of us have done that, but guys, I feel everybody, all of us, are being pressed on to give into the junk. Well, you don't like me, you don't hate me. And then, that's what I'm telling you. Evangelism and salvation is one-on-one because everybody I'm dealing with, they believe some bizarre things. And they know I'm a pastor, and I don't sit there and unload on them. But when they open up, I tell them what God's Word says, and I keep loving them. And right now, I know I can get pushback, but I haven't got any pushback. So the devil's lying to you. We know statistics say that 8 out of 10 people that you invite to Bible study or church will come. So only 2 out of 10 won't. So the devil's telling you to shut up, and the devil's telling you to be undercover Christian, and everything the gospel says and God says, that if you stand for your faith and you love people, it'll shut the mouths of the enemy. Just as he had done before. verses 12 through 18, we won't read that. So they found him. Well, we got him. And notice, I love this, Daniel. We need to talk to him in heaven. I don't think Daniel was a brash person. I mean, it's not that I don't like Paul, but I would not want to do ministry with Paul because he's just beyond it. And he's good, too. But I feel like Daniel is just this consistent, quiet, I'm going to follow God kind of thing. And so, I mean, here he's praying like he normally did. Could you be convicted? They found him. They told the king. They held the king. The king's like, he knew Daniel was blessed. He knew Daniel helped the kingdom. But the king's word, after he had written it, couldn't go back. It was for 30 days. And anybody that didn't do it was thrown into the lion's den. And so they threw him in. And you can go back and read this week and just read all chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. King's up all night. Because he knows there's something about Daniel. Because Daniel's set apart. Because Daniel's following God. Get the picture? He's up all night. And that I try to help people on this. When you follow God, it will cost you. It could cost you your life. It could cost you your job. It could cost you relationships. But look what it cost Jesus. And somewhere, somehow, we think if we follow God and do the right thing, it won't cost us. So the king's up all night. Next day, he rushes. And this I'm going to read this part. Let's start, if you're in chapter 6 of Daniel, we're going to look at verses 19 through 28. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. Now, I want you to understand about these lions. They weren't, there's a reason. There's a den. And they probably had them where they hadn't fed them in a while. And so anybody that drops down there wasn't going to be lounging around with the lions. They were dead. Because you're going to see the result after that. Verse 20. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, the king said, has your God, who you continually serve, been able to rescue from the lion? Who would say that about you? Again, not perfection. Servant of the living God, who you continually serve, so it's not just on Sunday, you're really good on Wednesday nights, walking in the light, as he able to rescue. Verse 21, then Daniel spoke with the king. May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not harmed me, for I have found innocent before him and also before you, your majesty. I have not done harm. He could have been like, you did this to me, but he honored that king in that false society. And I believe probably the angel, because the word angel means messenger, and you could use that, I'm not an angel, but the word angel means messenger. I'm delivering a message. Didn't say in this particular version the angel of the Lord, but most of the time when you see the angel of the Lord, it's the appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. So it's pretty easy to believe that it could be Jesus there with Daniel, which the Holy Spirit, he's with us in these places. But notice, he gives God the glory, and he also said, look, I'm innocent, didn't do this, and God has proved it. It's a lot better when God does the fighting for you. And so, verse 22, my God shut the mouths of the lion. Go to verse 23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was brought up from the den, he was found to be unharmed. For he trusted in his God. You know, ultimately, eternally, knowing Jesus, we will go unscathed eternally. Yes, people have been martyred and died. And we got to realize this is Satan's world. God's in control. And the lost, this is the only heaven they'll ever have. So you'll see bad people succeed. We still need to do the right thing. We still need to be salt and light. But ultimately, if you know Jesus, he'll bring you through the fire. He'll bring you through the lion's den and to him. And so verse 24, the king gave command. And those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown in the lion's den. They and their children and their wives, we'll get into that, but there's reasons at the time for that, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. So you want to know if the lions were just not hungry? They ate all of them even before they got down the floor. You know why it says that? Because that's God. To put back any doubt that those lions were fat and fed or docile before they even got down, that they grabbed a hold and started crushing their bones and ate them. Do a picture of that, kids. That would be interesting. But 25. Then King Darius wrote to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth, may your prosperity abound. I issue a decree in all my royal dominion. People must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God who endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. This is a lost man exalting Christ. I'm not mad. I'm excited that the devil is a liar and he's trying to have you guys shut your mouths, when if you live your faith, you will shut their mouths. Amen. It is not time to retreat. We're to storm the gates of hell. And that means we've got to get out there and let the chips fall where they may and love people and point them to God. Are you shutting your mouth because of the false faith? Or are you shutting the false faith because your faith in Jesus Christ? Again, this is not anger. I am angry because the devil, we're hearing that voice and saying, I can't speak up or I won't, or people. Just love God. Love people. Get it out there. I mean, this is a lost king, and this kingdom was the biggest kingdom in the whole world. And he's promoting God. I love it. At verse 27, he rescues and delivers, and he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth, for he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And then verse 28, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Your last fill-in, having a mouth-shutting faith results in godly triumph. Can spell it. I probably misspelled it. It's not up on the slide. Have fun. Okay. Having a mouth-shutting faith results in godly triumph, victory in Jesus. And so I got some questions before we have a time of invitation. Are you living a life that is set apart? Is there enough evidence that they would know that you follow God? That you follow Jesus? A lot of people are following all sorts of things. But is there evidence? Is there enough evidence to convict that you follow Jesus Christ, the one and only true God? You can't just say, people cannot just say, especially when we get into talking about evangelism, you can't just say because somebody goes to a church or they're a Christian that they're a believer. The question is, who is Jesus to you? What is the gospel? Is there enough evidence in your life to convict? And if Jesus has not been the only way to heaven, if you realize that you're a sinner and you need to receive him and haven't asked in your life, we're going to have a time of invitation here. Or you can come to me afterwards, come and receive that. But for some of us, it's just the fact that we're kind of trying to be undercover Christians. Next question. Are you stepping up to the challenge? I understand, guys. I don't, there's so many times it's like, God, I just wish I could be quiet. And then the Holy Spirit's like, I put you here. You're at this place for such a time as this. You need to step up and you need to take a stand. Are you stepping up? And then who are you trying to please? Your spouse? Your family? Your friends? Or God? Love people, but put God first and it makes it all right. And then the question, what kind of life are you living? A lot of us are just surviving. And this society right now, there are so many families that are suffering. I just heard that they're just struggling financially and through all sorts of things. And what does it look like for a believer that is following God? It's attractive. That through all this darkness, that they see a light and they see hope. And so are you surviving or are you thriving? because of victory in Jesus. Do you have a mouth-shutting faith? As we stand at our feet and have a time of invitation, you may need to pray, you may need to talk to me, whatever you need to do. Lord, I just pray, however, whatever needs to happen today, that they will come to you and make the decisions they need to make.